Wasn't that good?
Amen.
Boy, I tell you, I sat there and I just stuff like that brings tears to my eyes. Because I see future Christians right there. I see young people that are being raised right. Seeing some of these young people going to go on and serve God and do right in the future.
Amen.
Going to leave us old fogies behind. You know, there's a plus to raising your children right. Really, I'm telling you, what a blessing. I sit there and my mind just races. I said, you have to have a mind for it to race. Well, whatever's up there is racing, okay? And I remember one time when I was in Bible college you don't get sleep in Bible college. I still don't get sleep, and I've been out of Bible college for 40 years. But I got home from school that day and from college classes, I walked in. I thought, man, I got some time to study. I got some time to maybe even take a nap. You know, naps are unheard of. Now naps you have to when you get my age, you know. But I got in there, and I got to sit down, and I got a book out, and I'm starting to read. And all of a sudden, my pager goes off. And I was a supervisor for Z-Tech companies, and that stinking thing went off. So you have to make a phone call, okay? You got to go make a phone call. I called my boss. He said, hey, can you train somebody tonight? I said, sure. What time got to be there? He said, 20 minutes. I didn't get my nap. But what I did, on the way out, I have a habit of writing down scriptures on 3x5 cards. That's how I memorize scriptures. Now I can't memorize them. I just write them down to look at them. So I grabbed those scriptures where I always kept them in a little basket right there, and I pulled them off and stuck them in my pocket. Brother, I was mad as you were today trying to fix that van out there. He had all kind of Baptist custom. Now, I won't say that about your preacher, I'm jumping in my little car, and away I go, and down there to that building. I had to be there in 20 minutes, and met the guy, and then he was late. I had to go in and unlock the door and let this guy in. They were done, but as I sat there in the parking lot, I began to leaf through those scriptures, and that song reminded me of that scripture, and I looked at it and I thought, give thanks in all things, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's like God smote my heart. He said, you know, I'm big enough. I'm big enough to help you. I'm big enough. And I thought, Lord, forgive me for complaining. Forgive me for griping. Forgive me for just almost being in tears because I had to go to work. I wanted to stay home. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And God said, ain't going to happen. I sent you to 4 years of Bible college, not necessarily to teach you the Bible at Bible college. I loved the church. I was in Berean Baptist Church, and I loved that church. I loved Pastor Gray, and Brother Gray was just there's three men that I know when God saved them, and when God made them, God threw away the mold. I'll tell you who two of them are. One's Brother Gray, the other is Brother Abel, and I won't tell you who the other one is. But boy, I tell you, God just, anyway. So Philippians chapter number 3, if you would. Go ahead and stand. I thought we'd be a little lighter tonight. I don't know. I had another one. I've got like 12 messages out of Revelation chapter number 2. Probably 13 by now. I wanted to go back there because I wanted to finish that thought. But God just kept bringing me back to this thought, bringing me back to this thought. If you hold your finger there in chapter number 3, I want you to go back just a few, a page or so, back to chapter number 1, and look at verse number 6 before we really get over to my text. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, now notice this, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what? God's work, listen to me. God's got a plan for your life. Okay? And God, that plan's not going to work for your preacher. Your preacher's plan, God's plan for your preacher is not going to work for you. Now, he's going to give you instructions from the Word of God. He's going to teach you what the Word of God says. And if you pay attention, God's going to use him to help God work through him, to work through you, that he might be working the plan out in your life that he wants to work through you. It ain't going to be according to your plan. Okay? I don't like the fact of having 3 open heart surgeries. Okay? I don't like having to have four pacemakers and a defibrillator. I don't like all that. But you know what? It was God's plan. I don't like to have a messed up back and I can't hardly, you know. I don't like that. But you know what? It's all God's plan, and we're to give thanks in all things, for this is part of God's plan for me. For me. But God's got his plan for you. Now in chapter number 3, as I thought about these things, and Paul here was talking about, I believe he was talking about the difference between self-righteousness and imputed righteousness. You know, you can have your own plan about what righteousness is, and you can put on the righteous face, and you can do all kind of righteous things, but it brings forth that which is, you know, of the earth, of clay, and all that different things over there in Corinthians, and it's not going to bring forth the right kind of fruit in your life. But if you have imputed righteousness, as the Apostle Paul is talking about here in this passage of Scripture, and the Apostle Paul's greatest thing that he ever strove for was the fact that what he was going to, if he was going to be anything for God and God was going to work his plan out, it was going to have to be God that works in him, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And it was going to have to be imputed by God. Why? Because in you dwells no good thing. So what God does in you, God has to change you into his image. That's what we don't like. But God will do that. Because he says in verse number, I just quoted the scripture part of it. And he says, for it's verse 13 of chapter 2, he says, for it is God which worketh in you both to do of his good pleasure. And he said, do all things without murmuring and disputing. But how many times when we go through something, we're going, oh, I don't have to go through this. Why not have to go through this? I don't want to go through this. I don't want to go train that guy. I got other things to do. God said, wait, that's part of my plan. By the way, that's griping and complaining in English, okay? Now, verse number 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things unto you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you to save. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, wait a minute. So though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Well, if you think you got flesh, Paul said he had more flesh than you had. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, he said, any other man, well, you know, we can argue about that all day long, can't we? Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness, which is of the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me of those I count a loss for Christ? You see, Paul said, the self-righteous acts that I performed, I count them loss. Because you know what? They ain't no good. All they do is take you farther down, and they put a bigger frown on your face. Your heart's rotten, and it needs God to change it. Then read on here. He says, "And doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and you count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He said, "You know what? That stuff's useless. It don't help me grow spiritually. It don't do anything for me to be conformed to his image. God's not working. Wait a minute. God will use the flesh, but God wants to remove the flesh out of you and replace that with the Holy Spirit. But if you got a whole bunch of self-righteousness piled up in your heart, what happens is God has said, wait a minute, I've got to move some of that stuff out of there. Because I want more of the Holy, I want the Holy Spirit to fill that spot. Got to get you out of there before I can get in there and perform my plan through you." He said, it's those things that God's trying to take out of me is what I don't want. I want to get rid of that stuff. I don't want it in there. I want God to take it away from him. Why? Because I want God's plan for my life. I don't want my plan. I want God's plan. And he said, I count those things but dung. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That's imputed righteousness. And then notice what Paul says in verse number 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for the precious word of God. We thank you that we have a book that's perfect from the first book to the last book. It is the infallible, inerrant, preserved Bible, your word. You told us in the book of John that ye shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It's when truth is applied by the Holy Spirit to our hearts is when freedom can be enjoyed. Freedom can be had. And Father, we need that freedom tonight. We need that liberty tonight in Christ. So Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you might come down and meet with us tonight. That you might fill each heart with your love. You might fill each heart with a special place for you. That you might speak to those that may be here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ and the free forgiveness of their sin through the blood of Christ. God, do through us what only you can, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing in respect of the Word of God. Paul said something that caught my attention a while back. And he said that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. And I believe Paul gives us some guidance here in this passage of Scripture of how we can know him better. You see, because, excuse me, we're either going to strive to please God in the flesh, or we're going to surrender to God and let the Spirit do it through us. And Paul said here in this portion of Scripture, well, let me just ask you some questions. Let me just do all away with those notes for right now. Let's get a question. What are you living for? What are you pursuing after? What drives you? John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, and the love of the... I'll get it right here in a minute. Okay, I'll come right back. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Did you know that every man does that which is right in his own eyes? Did you know that you have a sin nature that wants to rebel against the Spirit of God? I think Paul talked about that over in the book of Galatians, didn't he? That spirit and that fight in the book of Ephesians, that spirit, that fight that we go through with the flesh and the spirit and the flesh and the spirit and the spirit and the flesh. You know who's going to win? The one you surrender to. But because the flesh is weak, the spirit is a lot stronger than the flesh. But what drives you? What is your heart set after? What is your cry this evening? Are you striving for what matters the most? You know, we're not to lay up treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but rather lay them up in heaven where that moth and that rust can't break through and steal and all that kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? I know I misquoted that, but you understand. You understand Buckeye language, right? Land of the worthless nuts. I mean, come on. But you know what? I think if we were honest, These questions should motivate us. No, they really should. You know, sometimes we need to... No, we need slapped upside the head once in a while. Don't try it because I told you yesterday I know that wah, wah stuff. You know, when you get old, you think, you can't do it anymore. Okay, it's impossible. Can't even get my leg and my foot in my shoe anymore. My wife has to help me. I like what Paul said in Romans chapter. Let me read it for you. He said, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." He was talking about the children of Israel. You know, it's possible to have fleshly zeal. It's called self-righteousness. That's what Paul was talking about, was he not? I mean, you read there again in the book of Philippians chapter number 3, and you find out pretty quickly that Paul was a self-righteous man before he found Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. No, he was. Read it there again. He says, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is the law, blameless. You see, Paul was a very self-righteous man. If you looked at Paul's life, Paul was probably A-OK perfect in the eyes of people. Why? Because we don't think like God thinks. His way is a little bit above our ways, and our thoughts are a little bit below His thoughts. No, listen, God got a plan for your life, but if we continue to hang on to the flesh and want self-righteousness, we want to lift ourselves up and make ourselves look like we're something, which you ain't. I ain't either. Well, what happens is your self-righteous acts come forth and people say, you know what? You know what? There's some pretty spiritual people in the world that can spot fakes real quick. And you know what? And if you're fooling man, you ain't fooling God. You try to fool God, but you ain't going to do that. I mean, if we were honest about it, we would agree that we all need a closer walk with Jesus Christ. No, I think if we would all just shell the corn down tonight and just say, hey, listen, I need a closer walk with God. Not a bigger worksheet. Not a larger checklist. We all got those right, don't we? The checklist is, I think I said, maybe said it yesterday. I've said it on this trip probably a time or two. Got a box. Got a piece of paper with boxes on it. Bible reading. Prayer time. Devotions. Soul winning. Church. Loving my wife. Honoring my husband. Don't get you anywhere. Self-righteous acts. Now, done in the Spirit. Okay, yeah, we ought to read our Bible. We ought to pray. Ought to go to church. Ought to tithe. Ought to give to missions. But if you're doing that outside of the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it's self-righteous acts. Okay? So Paul begins to, I believe, explain this to us, and well, not necessarily, I mean to us, because we're listening to it tonight, that Paul had a real desire, and Paul knew that the only thing that was ever going to help him grow to be like Christ. But because, isn't it in Romans chapter 8, I believe, verse 29, said it's God's will that we're perfected unto Him, or something like that. Isn't that what it is, something like that? That we become more like Him. But what happens is, if we don't have that daily heart experience with God, I'm talking about daily heart experience with God, we're going to become negative. No, wait a minute. We'll often become critical. And under those circumstances, we're not happy in the Lord, and many times useless as far as having effective service for God. We just don't want to do what somebody else wants us to. We don't want to do what God even wants us to do. Our service begins to stink. We back up, and we're getting farther away from God. We won't go soul winning anymore. We won't do this anymore. We won't do that anymore. We won't participate in this. And I mean, listen, this is probably one of the best churches that I think I've ever. This is better than our church back home. No, really, you got a wonderful pastor. And I'm not saying that because he's a friend. I'm not saying that because of that. But you've got a wonderful pastor. I've known Pastor Merrick for a long, long, long time. And you know what? Can I say this about him? Hold your ears, will you? He's not fake. No, what you see is what you get. You're not getting a whole lot, but what you see is what you get. I mean, he still has room to grow, okay? But no, I really mean that. You know, follow that leadership. He's going to give an account one day for your actions. Go over in Hebrews chapter 13. He'll give an account for that. You know, he's been faithful. If one thing you can say about him, he's been faithful. You know, when he was Holden, Missouri, or was it Eldon? Eldon. Who was in Holden? Somebody was in Holden. Carl Ray. That's right. You're not Carl Ray. You're Jeff Mayer. But Eldon. You know, I remember Larry Harrison. I preached for him when they were in Eldon. And it was so funny because he said, now this morning, you guys, we want you to just, I forget what he said. In the morning, he wanted us to go ahead and preach long because we preached back to back. And at night, he wanted us to preach the other way around. And we were in this little room. I mean, this thing was like a bathroom preaching. I mean, it was a little tiny room. And we did it the opposite way. In other words, we preached long and then we preached short or long or whatever. But we had a time there. You know, he was faithful when he was there. He was faithful when they went. Where were you at? In Idaho? I thought that's what I knew. I was just checking to see if you remember what state you were in. And, God had been faithful. He'd been faithful here for how long have you been here? 100 years? Faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. The same requirements for you and I. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Effective service. You know, when the Lord is... You know what I found out? If you have a genuine personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm talking where He's your friend. I'm talking where He's your pal. I'm talking where He's your buddy. I'm talking about Him leading you in your life. I'm talking about one of these kind of relationships. Okay? And I'm not being disrespectful to the Holy Spirit of God. But friend, you know what? I want to be so close to God when God moves, I want Him to have to move me out of the way. I really do. I want to be that close to God. Somebody said, we're ready to go, but I think Brother in Sunday school said that this morning. He said, I'm ready to go. I just don't want to be on the next train. You know, we're ready to go, but you know what? In between now and that point, hey, let's get near to God. Let's know God better. Let's know God more. Let's know more about God. Let's know more about this book. Let's have a working relationship with Him. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit of God. Let's listen when God speaks. We ought to just jump up and say, yes, sir, I'm ready. What do you want me to do? Well, as for me and my house, bless God, we're going to serve the Lord. A lot of things can be done if a fellow would just live his life like that. You know something I found out? When the Lord's present, something's always going to happen. No, I'd guarantee you, when the Lord's present, something's going to happen. I like it in Luke. You need not turn there, but in Luke chapter 5, verse number 17, it gives it just a wonderful picture, just one thought, and you can read all the way through the New Testament. And see these same kind of stories. But in verse number 17 it says, and it came to pass on a certain day that as he was teaching, that there was a Pharisee and the doctors of the law sitting, and which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Listen, God's got the power to do anything he wants to do. And when God's present, God's going to do something. But when God's not present, what is it that's doing it? No, it's you. It's not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the presence of your best friend. It's you and it's me performing those self-righteous acts, you see. But when we're conscious of his presence, things will happen. So when was the last time you saw a miracle? And I don't believe in the Pentecostal junk, okay? I don't believe in that, all that stuff. But when was the last time something real special happened in your life where you knew God did something? No, I'm talking about, can I share a personal experience? Thank you, I'm going to do it anyway. Left here yesterday afternoon, okay? Had a time preaching. I mean, I enjoyed preaching yesterday. I enjoyed telling stories, lying. I told all kind of lies. And up here there was a garage sale. Well, I pulled in the garage sale on whatever name of that road is, something up here. And this younger man come out. He's not near as old as you are, but he come out there and I got to talking to him, and we're standing there talking around, he said he's going to be deployed to Korea, I think, and he didn't tell me then, but I stopped back later and talked to him before I got to come to church tonight. And as we were talking, he had some things to sell, and I preached on stuff yesterday, and I bought stuff, and I'm going to have a garage sale when I get home, so you want to come, drive to Ohio, and I can come to my garage sale, or you can buy what I'm back in my van I got right now if you want, but... Anyway, we talked, and I asked him. I said, "Sir, are you saved?" And he said, "No, I'm not." He said, "My wife's not saved either." And I thought, "Dear God, we talked for a good bit." And I bought some things, and I guess I do things differently than most people do. And I bought a chair. It's got Cabela's on it. That's the only reason I bought it. I love Cabela's. I got a black card, Cabela's card, man. I'm telling you, I can just go and get points, you know, get free stuff. And I got a free bass boat. No, I'm just joking. But so we talked a little while, and I bought his chair. And I said, if it doesn't fit in my car, I'll bring it back, and you keep the money. He looked at me like, "You're an idiot. Can God work through those kind of things?" I was so burdened about it. Last night, my wife and I prayed for them. His wife came out and was able to talk to her. And when I said that wrong when I asked him. I asked him, and she was standing there, and I asked her. She was saying, and anyway, we're talking back and forth. And when we got done talking, and they were talking about, you know, him leaving and her staying here, and they got a little 5-year-old boy, and I looked over, and she just had tears running down her face. Looked back to him, and he had tears running down his face. Great big old strapping man. Was he concerned about leaving his family? Probably. But what I'm trying to say is, when God's present, when God's is present, God's going to do something. I believe if you quote this book, I believe God's going to do something. And it's going to do something, it won't return void. And I believe God did something. I stopped back today and I went through my briefcase and I said, "Listen, you want to go to a good church? I don't know anything about the Calvary Baptist Church, but in Ohio, First Baptist Church still had my name on the bottom of it, the track, that's how old it is." And I said, "Here, let me give you this booklet." And I had one on, isn't that funny how God works? I had one on, what would I tell you that was, hon? That one track back during COVID, we had that track. It was something about don't worry or don't be afraid or something. And we passed those out. It's got the gospel in there. And I gave him that, and I said, listen, I said, God, this is what I have in my briefcase. And I had another little booklet that I left with him. I said, would you read this? And he said, I will read it. I'll read both of them. And you know what? Before we backed out of the driveway, he was reading them. Amen. You think that's an accident? No, this thing is in my way. I got to start over, brother. Philippians chapter number 3. Verse number 10. No, really, friend, I'm telling you, God, that's what God wants to do. Listen, I'd rather stay at home and took a nap, but God woke me and said, hey, go back and visit that guy before you go to church tonight. I was hoping he'll walk in the back door. And if they don't come through the back door, I'm hoping he'll come in the back door sometime when we go back to Ohio. No, I expect that guy. I expect God to do something when he's present. And I guarantee you he was present. Why? Because I was there. And God's present within me. And I'm not saying that with pride that I'm anything, because I'm nothing. But friend, if the Holy Spirit of God dwells within you and you let him, the Bible says, for God which worketh in you both to do in the will of his good pleasure, God will work in you that he might work through you. We're his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. God's got a plan, and God wants to work through you if you just let him work through you. When we're conscious of his presence, things will happen. Why? So that men and women will know we have been with Christ. I'll guarantee you're in a burning house, you're going to know it's burning. And when Jesus Christ is present, friend, you're going to know he's present. And I'm not talking about having this ooey-gooey stuff that these people go through. I'm talking about having the real presence of God in your life. To where you get around people and they look at you and say, that man's been with God, that lady's been with God. There's something different about them people. And they're not living under a bunch of check boxes. They have a genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. He's always with us. But could I ask you another question? Thank you. If he's always with us, and he lives within inside of us, then why are there so many cold people among God's people? Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax worse. Cold. Scripture says, I wish that ye were either cold, hot or cold, than lukewarm, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I'm going to suggest to you tonight that the reason is the lack of the conscious presence of God. I think when I read that verse, I think we see a hint of that in Paul's words, that I may know him. I believe Paul had such a desire to know Christ. He said, hey, wait a minute. No, he said he wanted to even experience Christ's crucifixion, if he could. That's knowing somebody. No, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Be made conformable unto his death. Paul was willing to give his life. He might know him. Paul was not speaking of salvation. He was speaking of a deeper fellowship by personal experience with Jesus Christ. When was the last time you read John chapter number 15, the one about the Christ or God being the husbandman and and we being the, you know, the vine and all that and the branches and all that. You understand that passage of Scripture? And he said, it's God's plan for your life that you bear fruit, and you bear much fruit and more fruit. But you can't bear fruit unless you abide in the vine. You know, all that the vine could give is what Paul wanted. That ought to be our prayer. All that the vine can give, I want. You see, Paul wasn't saying, I want to bear the fruit. He said, I want to bear the fruit that I get through the vine. Big difference. First one, self-righteousness. The second one is what we get through Him. The second one is the branch abiding in the vine. And if you abide in the vine, He said, you're going to bear fruit, but it ain't going to be your fruit. You see, it wasn't Paul producing the fruit. See, Paul desired the power, the love, and the peace, and the faith, and the long-suffering, and the gentleness, and the goodness, and the meekness, and the will of Jesus Christ, the vine. He wanted it all. He just didn't want little bits and pieces of Him. But I believe that the Apostle Paul lived, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When was the last time you got hungry for God? When was the last time you got filled up with God? When was the last time you were thirsty for the things of God? I mean, where you just went, man, I need God to do something in my life. I need God to meet with me. I need God to go with me. I need God to help me. You see, listen, Paul wanted all of God's characteristics. Paul wanted to die to self. Listen, crucifixion means death. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Wait a minute. I'm dead to self, but alive unto Him. And the result of that, but listen, I guess what I was saying is this. Paul wanted an exchanged life. Paul said, Lord, I want to get out of this body. I want to go over here, and I want you to move in and just take over. That's what he was saying. I don't want to control anything about this body anymore. I want you to control me. I want you to do your work in me, because I know you have a plan for my life. And God, I want that plan more than anything else in this world. And help me to hunger and thirst after righteousness. That I may know Him. But how cold and calloused our hearts are in light of our great responsibility of Christ's representatives and witnesses for Him. You know, we can be poor witnesses for Christ. Or we can be Spirit-filled witnesses for Christ. Now, which do you think is going to produce the most fruit? Why should there be this lack of warmth and enthusiasm in hearts that belong to Him that some of us carry around with us? Why should it even be there? We're dealing with the greatest of all themes, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the salvation of eternity-bound men and women. Excuse me. Ooh. Good song, wasn't it? But you can't do that. I'll give you my hanky if you would try. Listen, you know what the world needs is a demonstration of what God can do. Not us, not our self-righteousness, but His imputed righteousness, you see. By the way, can I say this? Thank you. I I want to look at a verse. Look, flip over. Let's just go to one verse. We're not going to go very far. We'll go back to the book of Acts. You all know where the book of Acts is, right after Job, isn't it? Chapter 5 and verse number 42. I want to show you something here. Acts 5, verse 42. Things are going to happen if Jesus is present. Look at verse number 42. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Can I ask you a dumb question? Is that happening in your life personally? Are you ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you to every man? Listen, my wife and I have got a wonderful soul-winning place to go. You know what it's called? Kroger's. Walmart. I don't know if I told that story here. Did I tell that story yesterday? You'd remember. You're the smartest guy in here. You'd remember. You just look smart. You know it. Looks are deceiving, but you, yeah. I'm telling you, friend. Opportunities are they're just they're out there. Everywhere you go, there's people. You can't go somewhere and not see people unless you go to the woods. And then when I go to the woods, I'm dumb enough to carry a gospel tract in my pocket. Because I was in the woods and I come across a big marijuana patch back home and I'm going, oh. No, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. Quit laughing at me. Anyway, and here come this little guy walking through the woods and I'm going, ah. You know what I did? I shot him. No, <I'm> just joking. And I parried him right on the spot. No, I walk up to him. I made a lot of noise because he was carrying the same thing I was carrying. And he's probably a lot faster than I was. And I walked up to him and the only bad part about it, now you're going to laugh at this, but friend, this is the honest of God's truth. I walked up to him and I said, hey, how are you? You seeing any deer? And he went, and I'm going, what? He was a Mexican fella. He couldn't speak a lick of English. But you know what kind of track I had in my pocket? No, I'm telling you the truth. It was a Spanish gospel tract. Amen. And I went, bing. And I repeated back to him what he said, what I thought he said to me, you know. He might have been cussing me out, but because I interrupted his deer hunting. But I was just looking at his fancy marijuana plants. He said, oh, you know, no, not me, not me. You know, no, listen, friend, that's God doing that. That's not me. I mean, who is it silly enough to carry a Spanish gospel tract to the woods with him in Ohio? Well, there's a bunch of them there, but I mean, no, really. Friend, I'm telling you, God has a plan for our lives. But if we're listening to Him, you know, there's sometimes I don't even listen to God, and God takes the ignorance and does something good with it. And it's in, can I say this? There's never been a time that I've ever been in a hospital that somebody hadn't gotten saved. And people say, well, you were there to get fixed. No, I was not there to get fixed. I was there for the doctor. I was there for the nurses. I was there for the orderlies. I was there for the... Listen, we were able to lead several nurses to the Lord. 3 open heart surgeries. Pacemaker. I mean, it didn't make any difference. Listen, God had me there for a reason, and it wasn't for me. I remember one night after I had some kind of a... I had a million of these surgeries, and maybe a million and a half. And one night, I mean, I was so bad. I thought I had blood clots in my legs, and I mean, if you ever have blood clots, they're so painful. And my wife said, "Get in the car. We're going to go back to the hospital." We went to the hospital. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. We're back to the hospital, and I met this little girl there, and my wife was there with me, and she was taking this little thing going over my legs, and she said, "I can't tell you this, but you don't have blood clots." But for 20 minutes, we were able to talk to her. I told her I was a preacher. We were able to talk to her about Christ. She said, "I know that I'm saved." But she was a Church of God holiness. And she just took her garb off that day and left the church because she saw the fallacy in that church. And we happened to be in her little room talking to her and encouraging her in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And she just stood there. Remember her, hon? She just wept. I mean, she bawled. I remember another time we were I was getting my pacemaker checked and we were there in the office and we'd been praying for the pacemaker, the nurse that does that, reads all that stuff. They know everything about you. They know more about your insides than you'll ever know about your insides, okay, through that pacemaker. And we were there in the office and we were talking about to this lady and we said, listen, how's it going with you and your husband? They were having marital problems and she just started bawling. I mean, here's a professional nurse, here's a professional doctor that was bawling, and she was grabbing my wife and we were holding hands in the office, and the doctor opened the door and went, whoa, and shut the door quick because we were praying with her in the office. I remember going into my Muslim doctor, my old doctor retired, and my new doctor got in the office, and we went into his office, and God said, listen, take a gospel tract with you and give him the gospel the first time or you're never going to do it. You know how I know I would never done it? My other doctor was my doctor for 36 years and I never gave him the gospel one time. Wasn't going to happen with this guy. And I got in there and I began to talk, and he kept asking me this question. And I'm going, I couldn't get it out. I just couldn't start. And he asked me the same question. Do you have any questions for me? Do you have any questions? And he asked it like 10 times. I said, Doc, shut up. I began to give him the gospel. I said, Doc, I said, do you know you're saved? And he went, he didn't have a clue. And I began to give him the gospel and how Christ died for his sins and was buried and rose again from the dead. And how he could trust, if he trusted Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins. And I went through the whole thing, the whole plan of salvation with him. And when he got done, he said, you're the first person that ever kept going when I told him I was from a Muslim nation, Pakistan. I said, Doc, Muslims need to be saved too. You know, now when I go in there, you know what he wants to talk about? He's been reading his King James Bible. Amen. This is a Muslim guy that after Gaza and Israel started their war, he got on a plane and went back. I was there the day before he was leaving, and he said, I'm going back to my country. He said, I have to check on my family. I said, well, Doc, I'll pray for you that God gets a hold of your heart while you're there. He came back, and when he came back, we sat in his office. Friends, that's God doing that. And that's what God was for every one of our lives. Can you imagine we could be like the disciples, that when people see you and your life is like that, that they said they knew they had been with Jesus, and they turned the world upside down. All it takes is a willingness to have the presence of God. And you know what? God will use anybody. No, God will use anybody. He has a plan for your life. And that's the only... Listen, God wants to use us. Let me say that, and I ought to just be done here. You know, may God... Listen, may God help us to yearn for His relationship. May God... May God just do in your heart what He wants to do. And may you be submissive to Him. And may I be submissive to Him. Help us to yearn for Him so that it can be said of us that they took knowledge of them, that they have been with Jesus, how weak we are in light of the battle, and how strong He can be through us if we just let Him. Paul knew the place of victory in the battle of life. And that's the touch of His presence. Remember in the garden when Jesus was there? The men came to take Him. They went toward Him, and what happened? They fell backwards. God can still do those kind of things today. He's God. And God can move. But God wants to use you. Remember when Jesus was present, the blind could see. Remember the presence of Jesus Christ made the leper whole. Remember the presence of Jesus lifted a seeking man from the waters into the safety of the boat. Remember, He is the vine. The believer is a branch, a share together. A fellow laborer, His representative. I believe the Bible calls us ambassadors. The Lord's active on your part. No, we already read that. If God began a good work in you, He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If it's God which works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. But you and I must get to the place in our lives where we want to know Him better. Know Him better. I'm going to be done. Hope that's your prayer. To know Him better. Know Him better. Please die to self. Be alive in Christ. That's the only thing worthwhile in your life, by the way. Preacher, you come. Would you please?